You know, if we were to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we would fulfill the words of Peter, who said that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps, in the steps of our Savior. And those steps are so intrinsic. When you go back and you research that verse, the original language leads one to believe that that actually meant to see the footprints of Jesus and then to actually walk in those footprints. That's how closely connected we ought to be with God. And when I think about the footsteps of Jesus, I think about more especially his prayer life. You know, Jesus talked more about the subject of prayer in the New Testament than any subject that was ever discussed by our Lord. When you go through the Bible, it would amaze you to find out how often he brought up the word pray or the word praying or the word prayer. And Jesus certainly was involved in praying to God. You know, we like to communicate today. People communicate in a lot of ways. And we talked a little bit about that in our Wednesday night class. But I think that's obvious from the fact that we all use cell phones. Is there anyone in here that does not have a cell phone? Okay. You folks need to step up to the new century. No. No, I'm teasing. But I'll tell you what. Just about everybody, you saw the hands that went up, very few. Most all of us have a cell phone. And we use it, I bet you, well, I shouldn't say that, I'm a preacher, I'm not going to bet you, but I'll, that's not very nice, is it? Well, I'd say that in the pulpit, but I started to say wager, and that doesn't sound good either, but anyway, I can assure you that my cell phone rings, well, I was going to say 1,000 times, but I won't say that in a day, but it does ring many, many times, and yours does too. And we like to be able to communicate, to be able to talk and keep up, you know, the conversation with friends and family and people that we know. And if you don't do that, then you text, obviously. But why is it that we do not want to communicate with God? And our area of communication is prayer. God communicates to us through the Word. But the way that we have of communicating to God is through offering up our prayers and our petition to the Father in heaven. And that's why Jesus said in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke in verse 1 that men should always pray. He said it this way in the emphatic, men ought always pray and faint not. Do not give up on praying. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 9 where the Bible says that we're not to cease to pray. And the same thing is echoed by Paul in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Just that little short verse there that says, pray without ceasing. One time in the book of Luke chapter 1, the disciples came to Jesus and they just simply said unto Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus began to help them understand the structure of prayer, not only the structure, but the proper protocol that when we pray, that we are to pray in the name of Jesus. For he said, if anything you ask in my name believing, you shall receive. So prayer was a very vital part of the life of Jesus, but it was also a very vital part of the life of the early church. They prayed. But I want to ask you a question tonight, and I want this question to kind of serve as a basis for our study together over the next few moments. How many of you have ever asked yourself the question, I wonder if God is really listening to me? I wonder if God really hears me? Sometimes people will come to me and they will say, you know what, I've been praying, but I just don't believe that God has given me an answer. Or I keep praying to God, but he just doesn't reveal to me what he wants me to do. They may be faced with some tremendous decision that they need to make. It may be some kind of crisis that's going on in their life. It may be a health concern. It may be a financial concern. You know, it could be any number of things. And so people wrestle with this idea of whether or not God really is listening. Did my prayer really get any higher than the roof of this building? Does God really listen to me? You know, a lot of young children have difficulty understanding that God can hear the prayers of everybody at the same time. Have you ever thought about it? Churches of Christ all over, especially here in Texas anyway, and other places, are meeting tonight at the same time. I know a lot of congregations that meet at 6 o'clock. And probably if their protocol for worship was anything like ours, they had a couple of songs and they had a prayer. And think about it. That prayer may have been going on at the same time they were having a prayer down at Elkhart and one up in Frankston and prayers at all 5 or 6 congregations up in Tyler. Was it really possible for God to hear all of those petitions at one time? Absolutely. And is it possible for him to hear the prayers of all of us when we pray individually? God is attuned to everything that we pray. Well, with all of that in mind tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about the subject of prayer. Does God hear me? I would tell you, first of all, about the power of prayer. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's not really a whole lot of power in prayer, and that's evidenced by the way people treat prayer. That's why sometimes when we have exhausted every means of trying to resolve a particular situation, that crisis or whatever comes up in our life, we can't work it out, and then we say, well, we can always pray about it. Like, hey, you know, why not? Why don't you just treat it like you do the lottery? Hey, my work. I'll never forget, I think I told you about Owen Perry and I going into, Adam will laugh about this because he knows Owen very, very well and knows what I'm talking about. And I shared this with him one time. We went into a hospital room and a man was there on his deathbed and yet he was still conscious. And Owen and I walked in and Owen looked over the man and he says, well, would you like for us to have a little prayer with you? Would it be all right if we have a little prayer with you before we leave? And the man says, well, I guess so. Make it quick, and I don't guess it'll do any harm. Well, I thought to myself, you know, well, we made it quick, and we got out of there. The man ended up dying, I think, the next day or the day after that. But the point was that the man did not believe in the power of prayer. He didn't believe that prayer could change things. But you know what? You see them on bumper stickers. You see them on billboard signs. It says prayer changes things, and prayer does change things. It can change one who is ungodly. The prayers of those of us who are Christians can hopefully bring about a change in that person's life. Gets him under conviction where he can get into the hearing of the Word of God and be baptized and become a child of God. Jesus, in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 7 and 8 said, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He says in verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open unto him. Now that's emphatic. Christ says that. You know, we can come boldly, the Hebrew writer said, before the throne of God. We don't have to be intimidated when we get into the presence of God. We do it because we know that God loves us and he is our Father and he wants us to pray unto him. Call upon me in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, David said, when thou art in need, and God has promised to hear our prayers. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 also says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of our need. I like James 5 and verse 16 that says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Sometimes I think that we do not exhaust ourselves in really effectually, fervently praying for those who are ill. I mean that sincerely. Sometimes we really, down in the depth of the being of most people, sometimes I think they really ask that question in their mind. I wonder if God's hearing me. I don't think this is going to do any good, but I'm going to pray about it anyway. Romans 8 and verse 26 says, if you don't believe in the power of prayer, listen to what Paul writes here. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not for what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, when you stop and think about the power of prayer, then you have to go back to the numerous examples in the Bible where God shows us he answers prayer. And by the way, all these examples are left there for us to trust in God answering our prayer as well. That is, if God answered the prayers of others, he'll answer our prayers as well. So in Psalms 118, David in verse 5 says, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and he set me in a large place. Think about Jonah in the Old Testament. Some of the greatest prayers that were prayed by great men in the Old Testament, great servants of God. Jonah was called upon by God to go down to the city of Nineveh to preach in what I really believe was the largest revival that the world has ever known. Now, it didn't happen like God wanted it to initially, but we know that the end of the story resulted in the whole town coming to God and amending their ways. But Jonah decided that he was not going to do what God had asked him to do. Jonah was a praying man, no doubt. He had a connection with God. But his connection was severed when he decided he's not going to do it God's way. God told him to go to Nineveh. He got on a boat going in the very opposite direction, about 500 miles away from Nineveh. He went down to Tarshish. He was going to go there. And in the process of going, the Bible tells us that he was cast overboard. And a great fish, or a whale, some translations say, swallowed Jonah. Now, Jonah, get the picture, if you will. Jonah is in the belly of this whale. And the Bible says that he cried from the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell. He said, I cried, and thou heardest my voice. Jonah was convinced of it, and we know later that the fish coughed him up on dry land, and he eventually went down to Nineveh to preach the word of God. I'm convinced tonight that God is one who answers our prayer. He may not answer it like we want it answered, but I can tell you for sure that God answers your prayer, and he answers mine. And I believe that tonight because I believe in the power of prayer. I think about Elias in the Old Testament. In the book of James 5, as it's recorded, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says that he was a man subject to passion just as we are. And he earnestly prayed. Now get the picture here. He earnestly prayed that it might not rain. And you know what? I kind of wonder if some religious folk have been praying that same prayer. But Elias prayed that prayer that it might not rain. And it didn't rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now you just stop and think about that. You know, hey, we've been without a shower here for about 4 weeks. And about 4 weeks ago, some of us who are righteous got about 4.5 inches of rain. And those of you that didn't get any rain, we have to declare unright. No, Jesus said it falls on the just and the unjust alike. Now, but think about what a drought they had. We talk about the drought here in Texas and the drought of summer, and it is very, very hot. I don't know about you. My computer said this afternoon it got up to 100. I was looking a little bit more than that on my thermometer outside. Can any of you beat that? Well, that's good to know. But anyway, it was hot. And, you know, we know it's getting dry. The wind's been blowing and it's dry, and that's exactly the way it was. And it was just barren. You can just almost imagine. And so when he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and then finally he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I'm convinced again in the power of prayer. We ought to be praying for rain. We should be. We really ought to. You know, sometimes we don't. We let somebody else do our praying for us when it comes to rain, but we don't think about praying for rain. We just think, well, God's going to do that in his own way, and we don't need to pray for it. But I'm going to tell you, prayer is the very thing that moves the hand of God. Our faith connected to prayer is the very thing that will cause God to respond to our need. You know what? I believe for a long, long time, and I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, God just meets our needs. You know what? God doesn't meet our need. He meets our faith. And you know, stop and think about it, folks. God doesn't give us what he gives us because of our needs necessarily, but he gives us what we need because of our faith. God said if we had faith so much as that little grain of mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, be thou moved into the sea, and it would be moved thence. Prayer is such a wonderful thing, and I thank God for the opportunity and the avenue of being able to pray. One of the great stories of the Old Testament is found in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, and it's found in about verse 9. It involves a man who later became the king of Israel, Solomon. Now Solomon is going to follow his father David at the throne of Israel. And in verse 9, Solomon prays a prayer unto God. And he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And because he offered that prayer in faith, now listen to the answer down in verse 11. The Bible says, first of all, in verse 10, it pleased the Lord that Solomon asked for this very thing. It wasn't a selfish prayer. He's asking that he may rule the people and help them to be able to know between what is right and what is wrong. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself a long life. Sometimes I wonder if it's wrong for us to pray for a long life. Sometimes people pray that I'll have a long life, and sometimes I wonder about that. He said, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor have you asked the life of thine enemies for their death. You didn't ask amiss, but you have asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Boy, nobody like Solomon before, he says. So there was none like thee before, neither after thee shall there arise any like unto thee. Now that's why we say Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And it is true, no one will ever equate the wisdom of King Solomon. And he says, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for. That's how wonderful God is. See how he moves at the point of faith. Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among you the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. God will do it. I mean, he'll give us a long life if it's within his will. The power of prayer. But does God always listen? Number two, that's the question. And I know we're running a little behind here tonight, but you know what? It's cool in here. It's hot outside. Does God always listen? Well, in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 45, Moses recorded these words, and ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken unto your voice, nor give ear unto you. Does he always listen? Not always. Now let me tell you why. That sounds almost contradictory what I've already said, but let me explain myself. David in Psalms 51 says, my sin and my iniquity has hidden thy face from me. And he went on to say in another Psalms, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That is, if I continue to allow sin to be a part of my life, you will not hear me. And in Deuteronomy 3 and verse 26, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more of me concerning this matter. And as he was talking to Moses. Lamentation 3, verse 8, and also verse 44. Also when I cry, I shout, he says, and shutteth out my prayer. Thou shutteth out my prayer. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. In Job 35, in verse 12, there they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men. And surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. In Proverbs 28 and 9, he that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall not be heard. But listen, it shall be an abomination unto God. Well, very quickly, the last point. When does God listen? Well, in John 9 and verse 31, the Bible says, If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, the Bible says, him he heareth. A doer of the will. You know, sometimes people say, well, you ever heard people say this? Well, generally things work out for the best. That's not true. That's one of the biggest lies from the depths of hell that ever was. Things don't always work out for the best. God never said that. But he said it for the Christian. Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. But that promise is not to everybody. And I'm going to tell you something. Even the avenue of prayer is not to the unbelieving. But the avenue of prayer and that great blessing of being able to petition God belongs to his children. You can't call God Father if he's not your Father. Sometimes I wonder when we pray, or that is people out in the world generally that pray, and they go before the throne of God and they start praying, sometimes I just almost see God saying, now who are you? I don't think I know you. In James 1, verse 6 and 7, but let him ask in faith, James says, that is the Christian, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Nothing. Not the man whose faith is wavering. Notice what he said. Not his need, but his faith. Again, I think God responds to our faith. And that's exactly what James says, that the prayer of faith will save the sick. Not the prayer of the faith healer, but the prayer of faith will save the sick. In 1 Peter 3, 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being the heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you know that's true, that if a man does not treat his wife with respect and love and kindness, that you hinder your prayers before God's throne? That's what God said. He did. Prayer is powerful. It moves the hand of God. Prayer can be hindered by our doings and by our undoings as well. It is all about what is inside our heart. I hope your prayer life is what it really ought to be. But chances are it may not be. And I know that this is a subject sometimes people say, well, you know, I know all about prayer and all that stuff. But you know what? So many in our world today who claim to be Christians fail to pray. You just stop and think about your own prayer life. How often do you pray to God? How often do you really pray to God? Sometimes we let days and sometimes even weeks go by. Sometimes I'm afraid that people don't even pray unless they're called upon to come up here and lead a public prayer. Now, I'm not indicting anybody. I'm just telling you that sometimes we do not exercise that great privilege of God to be able to pray. But if Jesus spoke about it so often and Christ lived it in his life, everywhere you went, you see Jesus praying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed about the selection of the 12. He prayed for the 4,000 and the 5,000 on the mount outside of Jerusalem before they dined. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, he was praying. He prayed for the sick. He even reached into the spirit world. He even prayed for himself. And he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We ought to be praying as well, folks. Prayer can change a lot of things. It can change the course of our destiny, and it can change the course of our nation. You know, we want to make our nation what it ought to be. We ought to be praying about it. And let's do what we can. And exercising our faith. Sometimes I think God just wants to know how much we really want it. And that's what faith is all about, isn't it? So if you're a Christian tonight, and perhaps maybe your prayer life is not what it ought to be, I hope you'd resurrect it tonight, whether it's by public response, which we'll give you an opportunity to do that in a moment, or whether it is simply by an internal thing within your own heart that you can change and ask God to help you to be a praying Christian. And if you're not a Christian tonight, I hope that you would think seriously about becoming the child of God and putting you in a position to really be able to pray to God and call upon Him as your Father, because you would be His child by being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin, while we stand and while we sing.